is the package deal from heaven. The package deal from heaven. We all heard the package deal. Now, this package deal is there's something you have to get. To get one, you have to get the other one. The merchant, the seller, put the stipulation on it. If you want this particular one, you have to get the other one too. So you cannot get one from just pick and choose. You have to get both. For example, then we get the same kind of deal when it comes to spiritual things. I know this is a rather crude illustration, but in a way it makes sense. Let's make an example. To get to heaven and have eternal life in God, we have to accept the Father God in heaven as one true God. Okay? To accept the Father God in heaven as one true God, we have to accept the Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Lord and our God. To accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as a Savior and Lord and our God, guess what we have to do? We have to, after we receive Him into our heart, we have to live according to His way. To live according to His way, we have to not to love the world or nor the things in the world. You cannot pick and choose one or another. You cannot say, well, I accept God in heaven, but I ignore the Jesus Christ as a God. I accept Jesus Christ as God and Savior, but I'm not going to live according to the way He wants. Or, but I'm going to love the world. You have to take the whole deal or nothing at all. This portion of study we are going to start in 1 John chapter 2, Apostle John is telling us we have to take the whole deal, not one the way we want. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence, seeking your will, seeking your way, seeking your word, that we may learn from you, not our way. Let not our heart grow toward the world, but let us grow toward you, loving you and following you. We pray for our troops around the world. We're asking you to touch their heart and protect them, keep them safe. And most of all, we pray that they may come to know Jesus Christ in that difficult situation, away from their families. And we also pray for the uniformed personnel, firefighters and law enforcement personnel. We are also asking you to protect them, keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15 of chapter 2. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, underline the lust of flesh. Underline lust of eyes and underline the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Worldliness is not much of the matter of activities, but it's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of attitude, not much of things we do. It's possible for a Christian to stay away from questionable entertainment and plays, but his heart can be very much worldly, following the things of the world. Worldliness is not only affect our response to the love of God, but also affect our response to the will of God. Let me explain this to you. Doing the will of God should be joy for all the Christians, all the born-again Christians, following the will of God, doing the will of God. But once we start walking away from God's will, God's way, and we lose the enjoyment to follow Him, because our love toward Him is get cold, and we start to hate to doing things that He tells us to do. Many things in the world are definitely wrong and right. For example, stealing, killing somebody, sexual immorality, lying to somebody, That's completely wrong. We know that. But there's some area, it's a gray area, that even the best knowledgeable Christian would disagree. What about those areas? That's where we have to come to God and get the personal conviction. We have to examine ourselves with the best of our ability, ask God, and then ask God to talk to our heart. And the word says in Psalm, "Search me, O God, know my heart, and see if there is anything wicked in me, and lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake." Apostle John pointed out that the wall system uses three devices to trap us in the pit. Let's keep your finger right where you are, and let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis would be located in the first book of the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 6, please. "So when the woman saw," underline, "saw that the tree was good for food," and would you put the few words, "the lust of flesh," write it there, "the lust of flesh," and goes on, "that it was pleasant to the eyes," underline there, and write, "the lust of eyes," "and the tree," underline the "desirable to make one wise," underline that, and write the "pride of life," pride of life. I'll explain to you individually. "She took of the fruit and ate it, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate it." Let's look at one at a time. The lust of flesh, lust of flesh. It includes anything that appeals to man's fallen nature, basic need, basic desire. An unspiritual person rather depends on the basic nature than depending on what God says. So in other words, the born-again Christian have this old nature as well as new nature, that is the spirit. If it's just eating, nothing wrong with the eating, but it becomes a gluttony, that is a sin. If it's having a sex with your spouse, nothing wrong with it, but when it becomes other than your spouse, it becomes sin. See what I'm getting? If it passes the normal consumption for our body function, that's one thing, but when it exceeds others outside the territory of God designate, it becomes sin. Second thing is the lust of eyes. She, verse 6, it was pleasant to her eyes. See, she doesn't think about anything other than pleasant to her eyes. In Rome, the Roman people and the Greek people pursued a lot of ways to entertain themselves with their excitement. It hasn't changed a whole lot. When you look at the TV, magazine ad, billboard ad, anything that is visual nowadays, try to use some sort of the sex to encourage people to get into that thing. Thirdly, the pride of life that we find here is make one wise. In other words, she wanted to be more like God. Nothing wrong with being wise. Studying is good. Sharpening our intelligence is good. However, when we try to be like God, that is a different story. So, the pride of life is making ourselves better than others, and now the keeping up with the Joneses, making others and even God at any cost is a different thing. That is a sin. It's important to note that no Christian become worldly all of a sudden. Nobody wake up in the morning and say, "Well, I think I'm going to backslide today." We don't do it that way. We have this spiritual erosion. Gradually, one step at a time. I'm sure you heard, if you give an inch to Satan of your life, then he will be a ruler of your life. You give a little snip of place in your life to take over by the Satan. and He will crawl into your life one step at a time, and pretty soon you won't be able to move. How many pastors, how many elders, how many leaders of the church, and anyone who is a born-again Christian fell into this pit because they let him go, they let him get away with one little smudgy area? Remember this, folks. There is no spiritual erosion happen right away. It happens gradually, so ever gradually, that we don't even realize what's going on. Keep your guards up. Let's go to the James chapter 4, verse 4. It is important for us to understand that being a Christian, that when we become a friend of the world, we become the enemy of the world. Okay? When we become a friend of the world, we become enemy of the world. James chapter 4, verse 4, please. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity? That means enemy with God. Whoever therefore wants to be the friend of God, world, make himself, clearly written here, enemy of God. Does it mean we cannot be in the world? Yes, we can be in the world, but we cannot be of the world. Do you understand? Let me make one quick example. I'm sure you heard this. Boat is not a boat if sitting on top of the mountain. It has to be in the water. The function of the boat should be in the water. But if the water started seeping into the boat, it's a different story. It's nothing more than sinking ship. The boat should be in the water, but the water cannot be in the boat. In other words, we can be in the water to evangelize, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, but if the water gets into our lives, we start to sink into the pit. Let's go to verse 18 of chapter 2 in 1 John. Little children, it is the last hour, which underline the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist, underline also, please, is coming. Even now, many Antichrists, underline also, please, have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Underline verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Note that word also. For if they had been of us, they would not have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, and none of them were of us. You may ask, we just read that it's the last hour since the first century, last hour, now the 21st century, 2,000 years later, how come Jesus has not returned yet? Good question. Let me answer to you a little later. And the Antichrist, it shouldn't be the one. How come it said many Antichrists? Does it mean the Bible is contradicting? Let me say this to you. Bible never contradicts. Bible never contradicts. Then what's the problem? We are the ones who have a hard time understanding the Bible because we don't think. Let's go back to the last hour. God is not limited by the human, as humans are. God walks in human time, but not, He is above human time. He's not limited by human time. That is why we have a hard time understanding first verse of the Genesis. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. How can He, before beginning, then that is not really beginning, right? Because in our opinion, beginning starts here and ends here. But God is not limited in our timeline. He walked with our timeline, but He was above a timeline. So easily to Him, there's no such a thing as a time zone. Then what does it mean? Didn't it say last hour? This is not the kind of time, but this is kind of time, not the duration of time. Intensity from the day the Apostle Paul said it's the last hour. From that moment, intensity is growing stronger and stronger and stronger. Now it's the stage is set. Antichrist, an individual, we, a lot of people, and have a lot of, especially those who don't know Bible well, those who are kind of ignorant in the Bible, said that this Antichrist has a supreme power and he is total against God. Is he? No, he is not. He's just a fallen angel. God, if God should say you ain't anymore, then he isn't anymore. Who come up with this concept? Hollywood. Who else? Don't. If you saw this, I know. I watched the Omen before I became a Christian. In that Omen movie, or The Exorcist, and some of you guys watched that horrible movie, these demons have equal power like God. The priest cannot do a thing. No wonder. Why? Because they probably don't have Jesus Christ in their heart. Problem is, the people depends on their theology on Hollywood movie. Let me go explain to you. Who is this Antichrist? Three things I have to bring it to you. Number one is a spirit in the world that opposes or denies Christ. Spirit in the world that deny or oppose Jesus Christ. Second thing is a false teachers who embody this spirit. In other words, there's a group of people who embrace this spirit. Can you say demon possessed? Yes. They're completely controlled by demons. They are Antichrist. Thirdly, a person who will head up the final world rebellion against God. This would be the Antichrist with a capital A. Word anti, and when you look in the Greek word, there has a double meaning. One is against, another one is instead of. Number one, against is, of course, devil, Satan is using this pawn, human beings, to go against God, to substitute God, against God, and try to substitute God. Spirit of Antichrist is still in the world today. This will eventually lead to the appearance of a satanic superman, who the Bible will call Antichrist with a capital A. And this person is known as the son of perdition or the man of sin and lawlessness. You will find in 2 Thessalonians or the Revelations. Since the Hillary Clinton proclaimed, some of you guys are awake by finally. Finally, she claimed that she's going to run for the president of the United States. By the way, that's a good picture of her. Don't you think red really goes well with her? Anyway, I believe that final stage is set. Final world, this political leader will complete the stage to rebel against God. We study this in the book of Revelation. We have MP3 CDs. And if you want to study more about Antichrist, we also have MP3 CDs in the bookstore. You can pick it up for the study of the book of Daniel, or you can go up to the website and you download the sermon notes. Just jot it down. Last name, Solana. S-O-L-A-N-A. Solana. First name, Javier. J-A-V-I-E-R. Javier Solana. I'm not going to explain anymore. You read that about that man. Just for your entertainment. Verse 19. Let's go back to verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us, if they had been with of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, but that none of them were of us. See, this kind of disturbing news to some people. If you're the Calvinist who believed once you're saved and you're permanently saved no matter what you do, you will say, This means that this guy never been saved. If you're into Arminianism camp, you can lose salvation if you sneeze wrong, and you think something wrong, you lose salvation, you will say, well, he lost salvation. Either way, both camps agree that this person never been a Christian or lost salvation. It doesn't matter. This person, as the Apostle John said, he was not this. They were with us, but not of us. But they went out from us and started their own anti-Christian group. Every single cult around in human history, you will know and find out that they started their root from the local church or Christian school. Every single one of them. Let's move to the verse 20. But you have an anointing. Would you underline anointing, please? From the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but who denies that Jesus is Christ? Is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Underline verse 23, please. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Verse 24, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father, and this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. When the New Testament speaks of anointing, it speaks of the anointing as a common property for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. But somehow this got twisted in Christian realm and today. Somehow it became a magical thing. It's some sort of a virus that you touch somebody, transfer from one person to another. For example, I'm sure you've seen this kind of circus on the Christian TV. They lay hands on this person, they fall backward. And then this guy comes up to the front of the congregation, he waves the coat, and then people fall back, or entire group fall backward, or blow the air, and they fall backward. I have a problem with that, because I don't see anywhere in my Bible say you blow the air to the group of people, they will fall backward. Oh, I know where I can find. Second Opinion, chapter 666. It's not in the Bible. It's not biblical. If Jesus did it, Apostle Paul's doing it, then do it. If the Bible does not say, don't do it. I don't care what denomination says or what kinds of tradition they have. Follow the Word of God, not the man's rule. Folks, don't care about those people. Anointing of the Holy Spirit, then also known as unction, is not something you passing around back and forth. But it's something that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a precious thing. It's a gift. It's given to everyone. It depends on whom he's going to give it to, why he's going to give it to. According to the Bible, no man and no one can go to heaven unless that person accepts Jesus Christ into their heart. To accept Jesus Christ into their heart, they have to believe that, as I said at the beginning, they have to believe the Father is one. Every single cult has one thing in common: denying the deity of Jesus Christ. You name the one cult that does not deny the deity of Jesus Christ. If they say that, well, Jesus is God, but he was not human, they have to deny one portion of it. They do not accept the complete human and God himself of Jesus Christ. They would say he was a good man or was an outstanding teacher, but they deny Jesus Christ as God himself. This is the folks, this is a package deal from heaven. You cannot accept one and choose the other. Either you take a whole thing, you don't take at all. That's the Bible. You take a whole thing or you don't take it at all. You don't pick and choose like Thomas Jefferson did, or cut out this portion because he doesn't like it. Does it mean that he's going to go away from the truth? Duh. That's a Greek word you guys don't understand, but human by nature, always looking for something new. And somehow we think that if it's new, it's got to be better. That's why there's a new model of a car every year. They change a little bit on the corner, a little bit here, a little bit there, and people say, wow, did you see that new one? Yeah, got to have it. No, it's the same car, we're just around some areas. Folks, new is not good when it comes to the truth. Because Ecclesiastes says, 1:9 says, there's nothing new under the sun. The truth you have already in the book, in this book, you already have everything you need. There's nothing to add. There's nothing to delete. When we are living in the simplicity of the truth of Jesus Christ, we will abide in the Son and in the Father. Verse 26 of chapter 2, please. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Deceive is seduce and bring somebody down or to astray. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Jesus called Satan as the father of all lies in John chapter 8. He is not an originator, he is a counterfeit. And he counterfeit the works of God. He has counterfeit ministers who proclaim the counterfeit gospel, who bring the counterfeit Christians, who depends on counterfeit righteousness. Everything is counterfeit, not real. We are warned against letting any man be our teacher. That means, and you're thinking, what are you thinking you're doing out in the there? Well, if that's the case, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Let's start from 11. And he himself, some to be apostle, some prophet, some evangelist, some pastor and teacher, for the equipping the saint for the work of ministry, for the edifying the body of Jesus Christ, for the body of Christ. That's what the teachers do, like me. Preachers do. And what about, doesn't it contradict with this one? No, this is the Gnostic people who say that they have a superb knowledge that is not mentioned in the Bible. They got their own revelation from God himself, no one else, and they have this superb knowledge. When somebody comes to you, anything other than the word you've been taught from the gospel of Jesus Christ and the epistles, letters, open letters of the apostles, ignore them. Because as I said before, as the word said, you have all the truths that requires for you. I've noticed that Protestant church or even the Catholic, they don't teach the Bible from their church. If they don't teach the Bible, what do they use to teach people? What can human written book be better than God written book? God wrote this book. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scriptures inspired by who? It's Holy Spirit. This book is written by God. How any man can write better than God? No one. Folks, I highly encourage you to bring Bible when you come to church. When you go to some other church, that's fine. You take the Bible with you. You cannot go to church without Bible. Then what's the purpose of carrying the Bible? If when I teach or other people teach, you go through the Bible if I'm telling you or is those people telling you the truth or not. Examine. Make a note and go home. Again, review it. Don't trust a man's word, but trust God's word. Put everything against this word. Examine every spirit the word says. Otherwise, we will be deceived by somebody. Those people who would fall backward, you know why they would fall backward? Two reasons, in my opinion. Number one, the guy who would have a bad breath. Number two, out of those 10 people or the 7 people who are standing there, and everybody's falling and you're going to stand up looking around, totally unspiritual and by everybody's standard in that place, he's not going to do that. She's not going to do that. So, oh yeah, I'm going to fall. Duh. That's bogus. Don't do it if the Bible does not say it. And put everything against the Word of God. Verse 28. And now the little children abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed. Underline ashamed, please. Before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Abiding in Jesus means that we need not be afraid or ashamed when Jesus returns. This is because we have intimately known Him and we have confidence in Him. Listen, please. Apostle John's bringing up the challenge for all of us. When Jesus calls us, let's say rapture happens right now, there will be a lot of people who are scared to death, that they are afraid that Jesus is coming back because they don't know Him at all, because they're going to be left out. But there are a group of people, born again Christian, they know Him, but they would be ashamed of Him because they live the life, worldly life, same time, they might even live a shameful life. So they don't have a confidence in Him to stand in the presence of God. This is my prayer, this is my desire, this is my hope that none of us would be in that category. I hope every one of us would be glad that God, Jesus is coming back that day, that hour, with the shout of archangels, the trumpet call of God, and cloud will roll back, and Jesus is coming down to get His own people. That will be a glorious time. Be ready. Be watchful. Let's go to one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, that means a Christian's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. In other words, there are some Christians who lived a shameful life, did not have anything to show to the Lord, and they will go into the heaven, yeah, skin by the skin of teeth, and door closing down and going through. I'm in. Yeah, that's great. But you haven't brought anything for the Lord. Would you like to do that? No, you don't. Let's make an application. Number one, if we ignore or neglect any part of the Bible, we invite trouble. If we neglect or ignore any part of the Bible, remember, Bible is written to us, but not everything is designated for us. We must read and study the whole book and be able to handle it accurately. Some Bible teachers who take cults mostly and false teachers will take the portion of the Bible out of context and apply it to us, to you, out of context and say, well, this applies to you when that was specifically applied to the Israeli people. Don't follow. Second application, we will not perfect righteousness until we are glorified with Jesus. But we can practice righteousness right now as we are born of Him. Third application. A Christian who becomes a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You don't want to be enemy of God. Fourth application. When we are living in the simplicity of truth of Jesus Christ, then we will abide in the Son and in the Father. Let's stand up and pray.